Bring me your rain,
that you do just what you say,
in your time, in your time,
you make all things beautiful, in your
God is our authority in all that we do, and it is a light to our feet, a lamp to our pathway. And I would encourage you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 18, as we will be reading this in just a moment. I'm sorry, Matthew 20, I should say, Matthew chapter 20. Good to be with you this morning again. After we were gone this past week, we were over in Lake Chelan area, and thanks to Barbara, a very generous, kind offer, we were staying in her timeshare this week, and it was a wonderful time for Karen and I, and being able to just see the beauty of that area and be by the lake. It was very peaceful and very, very nice and refreshing for us. It's good to have Linda back from her trip to Florida recently, and she had a wonderful time with her sister, her twin sister, and they celebrated their birthday together down in Sarasota, Florida. So it's good to have Linda back again, and we miss Gabe, who is now up in Alaska, working a survey-type job for a gold mine there near Juneau. And he will be there 2 weeks and then be able to come home for 2 weeks, rotation type of schedule that way. So we want to be thinking of Gabe and also Walter, who is down in El Salvador. And how's he doing, Roseanne? He's doing good. And so we think of Walter and pray for him. And I just want to say that Walter and Roseanne have expressed they would like to be a part of our congregation. And we really appreciate them and want them to know that you're very valuable to us. We really appreciate you being with us. And also Adrian has expressed, Adrian Cook, who she's not here today. She's been coming regularly with Bill and Carol through the friendship Carol had developed with Adrian. And she also expressed that she would like to be a part of this congregation. So I wanted to mention that this morning. Adrian had a biopsy and she is still waiting the results of that. So we want to be praying for Adrian also at this time, and we miss her this morning. But we're glad to have all of you with us today. It's wonderful to see you. And so I would like to invite you now to open to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I want to say that next Sunday, this Saturday is a memorial service for Karen's mother, June Ormerod. And that's going to be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning at the Central Kitsap Church of Christ in Silverdale. Then next Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, family is having a special service that is arranged through the Washington State Ferry, ferry from Bremerton to Seattle. And then we'll be stopping the ferry about 10 minutes after departure from Bremerton at 3 o'clock and having time for the family to put the ashes into Puget Sound. And that is for both Karen's dad and mom. Her dad passed away 1998, 27 years ago. But the ashes are going to be placed from the ferry next Sunday at about 3 p.m. So next Sunday will probably be one of the shortest sermons that I have done. And some of you are going to be looking at your watch when I step down and asking, pinching yourself. But we are going to have to make a quick exit to drive around to Bremerton to get in line for the ferry. So I want to say that ahead of time, and I will do my best to keep a lesson within proper time limit. So some of you find that hard to believe, I'm sure, but next Sunday we will see if that really is possible or not. So anyway, I welcome you today. You are very valuable and appreciated, each one of you, for being here. And I invite you to read now with me from the scripture in Matthew 20, and beginning with verse 16. And we're looking here again at one of the parables of Jesus. It is known as the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And I've entitled the lesson, Receiving My Undeserved Reward. So Matthew 20, beginning with verse 1. He said, For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said to them, Why have you been standing idle here all day? And they said to him, Because no one has hired us. He said to them, You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. Now, I want to say that this parable is one of the more puzzling parables, I believe, and that it is a parable that the story is really improbable. It doesn't seem. And when we read this, we really, I think, feel a lot of empathy for these workers who worked early in the day. I mean, they were there at daybreak to go to work. And they, as they said, they worked through the heat of the day. And yet, these other workers who were hired on at various times throughout the day, who did not work a full day, at the end of the day, they were given the very same pay that was given to those who had been there in the very beginning of the day. And so, we have to think, that's not fair. And it would be, I'm sure, if some company was practicing those things today, there would be an uproar about it in the media. So, but the thing that we have to keep in mind is what it says at the very beginning of verse 1. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like. So this parable is not about good business practices for an employer to his employees. This is a parable about how God constructs the kingdom of heaven and how he looks upon our work and the attitude that he would like for us to each have as we view his kingdom. So, as we look at this parable this morning, the first thing that we notice is how the owner went out at the beginning of the day and began hiring laborers to work in his vineyard. And this was not unusual. That was standard practice that in Palestine of those days that there was a 12-hour workday. And it began at dawn, sunup, and it went to the end of the day. And the workers were paid then at the end of the day before sundown. So nothing in this really was unusual. It says there that as he went out, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now the denarius, that was a Roman coin. And we're told that it was worth, at that time, about 20 cents. And that was the normal pay for one day for a day laborer. So the owner of the vineyard had a harvest to bring in. We would assume it was a vineyard, a grape harvest that needed to be brought in. And so he was out early in the morning hiring laborers, and he made that agreement, he made that offer, and the agreement was that they would work for a denarius a day. And the denarius is a well-known coin. It has been, thousands of them have been uncovered, still in existence, and you can buy them yourself, actually. But it was worth about the value of one day's labor at that time. So this much of the story is true to life. There's not really anything surprising there in that part of the story. But it begins to, we see something happening when we come to the next verse. It says that he went out about the third hour and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard. And whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. And again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. Now, as I said, the typical work day in Palestine, it was divided into a 12-hour day. Depending on the length of the day at that time of year, 12 equal periods. But generally speaking, the third hour of the day would be about 9 a.m. for us. The sixth hour would be about noon. The ninth hour would be about 3 in the afternoon. And the 11th hour would be about 5 o'clock in the evening. The interesting thing about the landowner here is how he continued to go out doing the day throughout the day, wanting to hire more laborers. He would go to the marketplace. And if you have noticed that Lowe's or Home Depot, some of these places, there will be day laborers out there. And on a typical day, you can hire them just for the day. Well, that's what he was doing. But not only did he hire them at the beginning of the day, and at that time he made that agreement. He said, I will give you a denarius a day. And so they said, okay. And they went to work. But then he went out during the day at these different hours, and he just said, whatever is right, I will give you. So that was different. There was no mention of a denarius and what the pay was going to be. He just said, whatever is right, I will pay you. And so they said, okay, we'll go to work. There was an aspect of that they were willing to trust the goodness of this owner. And going to work without knowing or having any guaranteed amount that they were going to be paid, it was just whatever he decided was right. He said, I will do right by you at the end of the day. And so they went. But it says there that about the 11th hour he went out, and he found others standing idle, and said to them, why have you been standing here all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. Now, we think about that here he was willing to go even at the 11th hour of the day, knowing that these men, he wasn't going to get a lot of work really from them. There was only 1 hour left till sundown. And yet he assured them, whatever is right, I will give you. Do you still want to go to work? And he said, why have you been standing here idle? He noticed that these men had been there, and yet they hadn't been so far willing to go into the work. No one had hired them. And I think this represents God wanting to find and bring people and call people into his kingdom. And that God continues to do that throughout our lifetime. If we look at the 12-hour day, we see that can represent your lifespan. And I believe that God does this in all of our lives. That there are times in our life that we can just get the sense that God is working on me to bring me into his kingdom. And sometimes we resist that. People are finding a way that I know that it's too much. I'm not ready for that yet. And yet God continues to do things in your life that is really working on your mind and your thought. God is reaching out to me. God is calling me. God wants me to serve him. And he continued to do that even up until the 11th hour, the late in the day, showing that he still desires these people to come into his kingdom. And whatever is right, he said, you will receive. But what really is unusual that we find here about this landowner, and beginning here with verse 8 is really the first time that we really get a good look at him, and we hear him and we see something about him that is very unusual. It says, so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages. Now, that was exactly what the law of Moses required. that at the end of the day, the owner is to pay the laborers that he had hired. It says in Deuteronomy 24 and 15, "You shall give him his hire on the day he earns it before the sun goes down." So the owner brought his workers in at the end of the day, and just as the law required, he began to pay them their wages. And he said, "Call the laborers and give them their wages." But now notice this, beginning with the last to the first. Call these men in, and here he has been hiring them all through the day. But some of them have been working from sunup that morning through all the heat of the day. But he begins to give out the wages. He begins with the last ones who only came to work at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And when those came who were hired, it says at about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. They received the same pay that he had agreed with the workers at the beginning of the day. And then it says, the same was true for all the others, the ones that were hired at 9 a.m., at noon, at 3 p.m. They were given their wages, what we would say, in reverse. And the ones who came early in the morning, they were the last ones to get paid. But they all received the same amount for the work that they had done. But they had not all done the same amount of work. When the first came, it says in verse 10, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise each received a denarius. So these other men who had been working, and they're waiting in line to get their pay, they've been working all day long. And what is surprise to them is how these others got the same thing. Now, for those who worked at 5 p.m., remember that the master, he said, "Whatever is right, I will give you." And so they stand up there and he begins to give them. They receive a denarius. They are surprised. "We weren't expecting to get paid that much. This owner is so kind and so generous." And that would have been the thought that all of these were having. But when he gets to the ones who started the beginning of the day, it says, they supposed that they would receive more, but they likewise received each a denarius. And of course, we can see what their reaction is going to be to that. Because in the next verse it says, when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." It's like they're saying, "Well, what's going on here? We have been working all day long, and you give these men the same amount that we received?" So they don't think it's fair, and they begin to grumble and complain about it to the owner. But the owner's response, I think, is kind, but it's also a firm response that he gives to them. But he answered one of them and he said, "Friend," he calls him friend, "I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Don't I get to decide how to spend my own money? And didn't you agree? Am I mistaken? Or did you not agree at the beginning this morning that I would pay you a denarius, and you agreed to that? I'm not doing you any wrong." But he said, "Or is your eye evil because I am good?" And so we see that the problem was that they were jealous. They were jealous of the other workers. And so he makes this It's really kind of a strange statement here. He says, so the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, as we think about this parable, the question becomes, was the owner unjust? Was he being unfair? Was this an unfair business practice that they had a right to complain about? Was it really not just what he was doing? Now, we have to admit that from the appearance, it doesn't look like it was fair. Because the fact is, they were not all treated on the same basis. And they noticed that, but it said that as these others were being paid a denarius, all of a sudden they began thinking in their mind, well, he's being very generous with all of them. They did not work a full day, and yet they got paid for a full day. So there must be something more that we're going to be entitled to, because we worked longer. So, in one sense, they are true that they were not all being treated on the same basis. But even though the treatment was unequal, it was not unfair. That's what the owner is saying. It was my right. If I decided that I wanted to give these men the same that I gave you, I'm not doing you any disservice. I'm not doing you any wrong. So even though it was not equal, it was not unfair. And he did not do wrong to the early workers by doing a favor to those who came later. The problem was, they were jealous over what the others received. They would not have had a problem if they had come to work in the morning and they agreed to work for a denarius. They worked hard all day. They stand up in line. They get paid a denarius. They would have been fine with that. What upset them was the fact that he was showing this unusual generosity and liberality of kindness to these who came late, knowing that they had not earned it. They had not earned a denarius. That was a full day's pay. And yet they did not give a full day's pay. But they were still paid as if it was for a full day. That is what irked these workers who came in the morning, because by that time they were expecting they should get more. Now, what we really find, though, as we look at the parable here, is that this is part of the context of what took place just before this in Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, we see that the rich young ruler came to Jesus in verse 16 of chapter 19. And the parable here is really for the benefit of the apostles, as a warning being given to the apostles. We see that back in chapter 19 there, beginning with verse 16, the rich young ruler had come and he said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus talked with him about that, about the importance of keeping the commandments. He said, "Well, all of these things I have done from my youth on up." And he was a very fine young man, no doubt. And it said that Jesus called him a ruler, that he was, Jesus loved him and things of that nature. But Jesus said to him, "This one thing you lack. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me." But it said he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus was able to look into this young man, good young man as he was, and yet Jesus could see that what was it standing between him and God? It was his possessions. And he was going to have to give that up in order to follow Jesus. And he wasn't willing to do that. Well, following that, though, it says that Peter asked the Lord a question. Verse 27. It said, "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?'" In other words, we the apostles, Lord, we have given up everything and followed you. So what are we going to get for that? And so Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." You see, he gives that same sort of cryptic statement there at the end of that question that was asked by Peter. And it's a warning that he is giving to the apostles. The apostles who have left all. They have been following him from the very beginning of his earthly ministry. And yet a warning is given to them. The last, many who are first will be last, and the last first. And Jesus is saying to Peter, yes, you're all going to receive a reward. And it's going to be much more than what you have sacrificed. You who are the apostles, you're going to receive a very special reward. And everyone who has made sacrifices and come and followed me, all of them, everyone is going to receive a reward that's going to be much greater than what they have given up. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Jesus gives this parable to the apostles as a warning. And as we look here at what the meaning really is, it is, I think, first of all, it is a warning to the apostles that as they had been the first workers in the vineyard, so to speak, they were the first ones to come and follow Jesus. But even they needed to guard themselves against having an improper spirit and an improper attitude towards what the work that they were doing in the kingdom, lest they might end up last in the kingdom. It's about the attitude that they had, and Peter beginning to say, "Well, Lord, what are we going to get out of this?" It's a guard against that attitude of beginning to think, because we were here first, we deserve more. We have been earning so much, Lord. We have put in so much into this. There's got to be something very, very special for us that we have coming. That is the attitude that Jesus is telling us we need to guard against. Yes, there's going to be a reward. But many who are first will be last. There's that possibility that even those who came early in the day, they may be last, and those who came last may be first. You know, I think it is also given as a warning to the Jews. The Jews who were there long before, and they were God's chosen people throughout the Old Testament. God made a special covenant with Moses and with Abraham. And so they were the exclusive recipients of God's blessings, his promises. And so they entered the vineyard early, serving God. But when they began to hear that God was going to bring the Gentiles and other people into his kingdom, they began to resist. They wanted it to be for their own exclusive benefit and blessing. So I think there's an application that Jesus is making to the apostles. He can also be making that warning to the Jews, but it's about the attitude that we have towards working in the kingdom for anyone. That first of all, the amount of work that is accomplished is not as important as the spirit in which it is being done. And that there are two ways that can approach the work that we do in the Lord's vineyard. There's one type of worker that only works for pay. Like the ones in the morning that said, we will work for a denarius. We will get paid a denarius. It's so much work for so much pay. And it begins to be an attitude that we are building up merit and credits that God may look at this like balancing the ledger. God is putting that on our side, and at the end of the day, we will get paid. But it's the attitude that we only do what we have agreed to do. We're not here. We're only here for the pay. We know that there is a problem with that type of work. How would we feel that going to a doctor, for example, who is serving the people, but in reality he's only doing it for the pay that he is going to get? Do you see a problem with that? It needs to be something more than that. It needs to be something that he is doing this out of his love, out of his care, out of his concern for his patients, like a mother for her children. Think about the sacrifices that a mother gives up in her life for her children. Does she ever get paid for it? No. The pay that she receives is the joy of seeing her children grow up to have a good life. And so there are people who enter the kingdom of God and can have this attitude that we're only here for the pay, and at the end of the day, what am I going to get, Lord? But there's others who enter the kingdom and they have the attitude, I'm willing to enter the kingdom because I trust the generosity and the goodness of the one who is willing to allow me to come into his kingdom. At the end of the day, they all received the same pay no matter when they began. That was how the Lord looked at their labor. Whether they came at the beginning or throughout the day, or even at the 11th hour, the Lord was willing to give them the same reward because of his goodness. You see, none of them had earned what they received. It was from the goodness of the Lord all along. 1 hour that was received for a full day. It was not earned, but yet it was still paid. That is the goodness of God in rewarding those who come to him, who are willing to give up the things that stand between them and God and respond to the gospel and commit their lives to Christ. At the end of the day, it's the goodness of God. It's by the grace of God. We do not earn what God gives us. And it's possible that even those who have come early in the day may develop that attitude that because we have been here all this time, Lord, what have we earned? What do we have that is going to be given to us? That person who develops that type of an attitude may end up being last in the kingdom. Whereas the one who is willing to trust, Lord, it's late in the day. I have been waiting. No one has hired me. But I'll go to work. The Lord is going to do what is right by me. And I trust him. And I appreciate him. It said that John Newton, who was the author of Amazing Grace, the song Amazing Grace, John Newton, he said, when I get to heaven, there are going to be three wonders that I will see. First is going to be the people that I did not expect to be there. The second is the people that I will miss that I did expect to be there that aren't there. But the greatest wonder, he said, is going to be to find myself there. And it is true that we work in the kingdom of the Lord. But what gives us is not pay. It's a gift of His grace that is bestowed to those who are willing to trust Him and work joyfully in the kingdom. Not for the pay, but for the joy, for the benefit of being able to be in His presence and to be having that hope to be with Him in eternity. And so this parable, though it doesn't make sense to us from an earthly standpoint, it even seems unfair. It's about the kingdom of heaven, how God views those in His kingdom and how He intends to reward them. We're going to stand and sing the invitation. And if you're here today and God is calling you. God is working in each of our lives. I believe that with all of my heart. God wants you to enter into His kingdom. To whatever stands in the way, to put it aside, to come to Him. Trusting His grace, trusting His promises, that at the end of the day, He will do what is right by you. We're going to stand and sing the invitation. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus falling
tenderly upon your ear.